Kennedy assassination. That is coming up next on KBOO.
Tune in to Between the Covers every Thursday at 11 a.m. to hear interviews with locally and nationally known authors from both fiction and nonfiction. Between the Covers, only on KBOO Portland.
Hi, this is Per Fogring. Friday, November 22nd, I'll be hosting the Morning Talk radio show. We'll discuss the Kennedy assassination and theories about who done it and why. That's Friday, November 22nd at 8 a.m. on KBOO, your radio station.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Yellow Pages, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit pdxgyp.com.
Uncle Sam, hey, how are you? Good to see you. Hey, how's Lady Liberty and the kids, huh? Oh, that's great, man. Hey, I appreciate those aircraft carriers you're sending into the Philippines. No, really, that is all right. Yeah, no fair expanding the military. Doing the right thing, though, huh, Unky? But listen, Uncle Sam, we need to talk. No, wait, don't you go bolting out the door. This is serious. We got stuff we got to work out. Take just a minute. Whoa, hold on. I got to talk to you about climate change. And now, don't give me that look. We know whose corporations have been pushing the coal and the oil and the jet fuel and that giant pipeline. And let's not forget car commuting with gasoline production subsidies, huh, Uncle Sam? You're the one that says everyone needs a car. Turn in your clunker. That was you, was too. Don't give me that. Now, come on, Uncle Sam. Who loves you? You know I do. Absolutely. Did you think I sent in all that tax money to France? No, it's to you, baby. It's to my Uncle Sam. That's right. Every penny. But look, we got to talk about what you do with that stuff. You've been giving it away. People don't need it to those CEOs and billionaires again. Oh, I know you love those billionaires, Uncle Sam, but you got to look at who they are. Come on, Uncle Sam. You're letting major corporations get by with paying nothing, and that's on top of all those trillions they're hiding in the Caymans. You got to go down there. You. Get all that money back. Just confiscate it. Yeah, Unky. You afraid of the Cayman Islands, big tough guy like you? Well, sure, the banksters won't love you anymore if you do that, but you know, honey, they were never your friends. Listen, you should hear the way they talk about you. Oh, yes, they do. They say you're too liberal, and they want to drown you in a bathtub. No, seriously, Grover Norquist, that's who. Grover Norquist. And all your bankster friends were nodding their heads. Well, I don't know, Uncle Sam, but I'd get the jump on them if I were you. I mean, if you want to survive... Of course I'm your friend, Uncle Sam, baby. Of course I'm your friend. No, I would not lie about something like that. You got to root out those banksters, Uncle Sam. Give them the old 1-2. Confiscate their assets. Come on, we'll see who's too big to fail, eh? That's my Unky. And what's that you've been doing with us soldiers? I thought you were done with that endless war stuff. Going to wind that down, right, Uncle Sam? Oh, yeah, we're going to get out of the war. No, you most certainly are not. Oh, yeah. Oh, right. The war is over in Iraq. I can't believe I heard that come out of your mouth, Uncle Sam. How many thousands have died just this year in the sectarian violence that you set up? Of course, I know it was you. I can see those star-spangled, stripy pants of yours poking out when you run into a Sunni or Shia mosque with a bomb. The turban didn't work, okay? Just cop to it, Unky. You set up that civil war. Cop to it, Unky. You set up that civil war. Did too. Yes, you did. No, come back here. All right, I'm sorry. Well, then what about that compound in Baghdad? Embassy? That's not an embassy. Don't make me laugh. Embassies don't take up half a city with anti-aircraft and anti-tank ramparts. Oh, give me a break. Uncle Sam, sometimes I swear you were just full of it. And then there's Afghanistan and Somalia and drones over Pakistan. That's terror, Unky Sam. You want to be part of that? Funny business in Yemen and who knows what all. Look what you've done to those people. Look at, I mean, God. Look what you did to their kids. Blood everywhere. And Uncle Sam, what are you doing with our kids? They're coming back in pieces with all the love and peace blasted out of them. You got to stop this business, Uncle Sam. And I heard you're still cooking up a war with Iran even while you're smiling and shaking their hands. Now, is that any way for a decent old uncle to act? Uncle Sam, you got to admit you have a war problem. You have a war problem. Read my lips, Uncle Sam. You haven't even been going to meetings. No, you haven't. And sending a spy to an anti-war meeting doesn't count. Honestly, Uncle Sam, you don't seem to know who your friends are. Those Pentagon boys, they got cool uniforms, the best firecrackers, but they don't love you like I do. They just want to take all your money. They do too. How much did you give them this year? Another trillion or so? And what did they do with it, huh? Where's the gun? Did they buy you a nice cross-country bullet train or something? Well, sure, I'm getting sarcastic, but the war boys blow your money out their jet nozzles, and that's fact, Uncle Sam. And me and the family need that money at home. Oh, sure, just walk off, Uncle Sam. Can't handle a talk with little old me, huh? Well, watch out for tornadoes and don't walk on the northern ice cap because it's thin as a Ritz cracker. Are you listening to me, Uncle Sam? Well, I better not see you at 3 a.m. knocking down the door. I'm talking to you, Uncle Sam. Are you listening to me? I see where you're going. Hey, there you got a key. Pinchy eat a little bit. Oh, damn. This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know, giving you the tools to destroy billionaire rule. Article by Sam Santow on abc.net.au. Human form of mad cow disease is much more common than first thought, scientists in the United Kingdom have found. Research published in the British Medical Journal shows almost 32,000 people in Britain are carrying the variant protein, double the most recent estimate. The disease created widespread concern in the 1980s and 90s when pictures of distressed and sick cattle were shown in the media. Now, you may ask, Teresa, why are you telling us about this going on in Britain? What's happening right under our noses? Well, we don't know because the U.S. beef industry will jump on anybody who tells the truth about it. And, we're going to have to wait till someone digs into it a little further. But of course, this is happening in the United States. And of course, it's happening more than it is in the UK. Because, hey, we always got to have more and better, right? Returning to the article, it says some humans who consumed meat from the diseased cattle then began to develop a related form of mad cow disease, a crippling degenerative brain disease known as Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Now, I'm going to stop again. What? Sound like Alzheimer's? Well, that's probably because it is Alzheimer's. Who's going to prove it? You got a few million? You got a research team and got half an army to put out there to keep the beef industry from shutting it down? Latest findings are expected. This is, again, the article to, again, throw the spotlight on millions of people exposed to the disease, including many Australians who were living in the UK at the time. Professor Colin Masters, a neurologist at the Institute of Neuroscience and Mental Health at the University of Melbourne, says the research marks the first time the possible number of people directly affected by CJD has been examined. So far, he says, there's been 177 people who've actually developed full-blown disease of this so-called variant, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, but that was really the tip of the iceberg. We always suspected there'd be a very large number of individuals who are exposed, have developed the infection, but for various reasons have never developed the full-blown disease, end quote. The big question remains unanswered. Just how many of the millions exposed to mad cow disease are actually likely to develop full-blown CJD symptoms? Quoting Professor Masters again, in certain individuals and most individuals, it will probably never get to the brain. It remains in the gut. And this is what these current figures are showing, that 1 in 2,000 individuals in the UK potentially have this infectious protein in their peripheral circulation or in the gut tissues, end quote. Professor Masters believes that many more people will die from other diseases than from CJD because it's a slow burner and many people carry immunity to its effects. And departing from the article, well, we also know that it's quite likely that people will just call it, oh, well, they're old, they got dementia, and they're never going to look, and it's not going to be counted, and they don't know. My personal opinion, there is an epidemic worldwide of mad cow disease, and you can call it CJD, and you can call it Alzheimer's, or you can call it dementia. It's killing us. So, oh, and if you have an opinion about that, feel free to give me a call. The number to call 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. You got anything to say to Uncle Sam? Well, maybe he can hear you from here. 503-231-8187 from globalresearch.ca. Since, and this is Neil Ungerleiter's article, since 2001, armed predator drones have been used by the CIA and many foreign nations to attack individuals on the ground. There's a new revelation about them, too. In some cases, the NSA helped the CIA find targets by locking onto their powered-off mobile homes. Yeah, I said powered-off mobile phones. I did say mobile home. Well, anyway, even when phones have their batteries removed, it appears the NSA still has the ability to locate them. Buried inside a Washington Post story by Dana Priest is the following tidbit. By September 2004, a new NSA technique enabled the agency to find cell phones even when they were turned off. JSOC troops called this the find, and it gave them thousands of new targets, including members of a burgeoning Al-Qaeda-sponsored insurgency in Iraq, according to members of the unit. We got to depart from the text and say that whole Al-Qaeda in Iraq thing was bogus from the get-go. Sorry, they were they were not Sunni. I mean, well, okay, they were Wahhabists, but they weren't the type of Sunni that the ruling party was, and it was it's bunk. Anyway, at the same time, the NSA developed a new computer link-up called the Real-Time Regional Gateway, in which the military and intelligence officers could feed every bit of data or seize documents and get a phone number or a list of potential targets. It allowed commanders to see on a screen every type of surveillance available in a given territory. The find, the Post article says, is run by a team in the basement of the NSA's headquarters. You know, that's traditional basement. On whose job it is to track the location of mobile phones in real time. Because many phones have chips that stay on even after a battery has been removed, tracking powered down phones is within the realm of possibility. The revelations fit right in with the Edward Snowden disclosures. But the NSA isn't the only one tracking phones. Other government agencies and private companies regularly track them without warrants or court orders as well. There's more to that article. You can find it at globalresearch.ca. Number to call 503-231-8187. This one's for Mara Cullen, even if it is ironically from the BBC. I lift a brew for you, Mara. Soldiers from an undercover unit used by the British Army in Northern Ireland killed unarmed civilians. Former members have told BBC One's Panorama, speaking publicly for the first time. The ex-members of the Military Reaction Force, which was disbanded in 1973, said they had been tasked with hunting down IRA members in Belfast. The former soldiers said they believed the unit had saved many lives. And there's more justifications that they said, which I edited out. And if you want to read them, I'm not going to broadcast them. You can find it at the BBC. The Ministry of Defense said it referred the disclosure to police. The details have emerged today after Northern Ireland's Attorney General John Larkin suggested ending any prosecutions over troubles related to killings that took place before the signing of the Good Friday Agreement in 1998. The proposal has been criticized by groups representing relatives of victims. The soldiers appeared on Panorama on condition their identities were disguised. Panorama has told the MRF. Has been told the MRF consisted of about 40 men handpicked from across the British Army before it was disbanded 40 years ago after 18 months plainclothes soldiers carried out around-the-clock patrols of West Belfast, the heartland of the IRA, in unmarked cars. Three former members of the unit who agreed to be interviewed on the condition their identities were disguised said they had posed as Belfast City Council road sweepers, dustmen, and even meth drinkers carrying out surveillance from street gutters. But surveillance was just one part of their work. One of the soldiers said they had also fired on suspected IRA members. He described their mission as to draw out the IRA and minimize their activities. If they needed shooting, they'd be shot. Another former member of the unit said that we never wore any uniform. Very few people knew what rank anyone was anyway. And there's more to that. 10,600 shootings in Northern Ireland. Not possible to say how many the unit was involved in. And I would say this is quite relevant to us today. Because we live in a surveillance state. We live in a state chock full of secret police. We live in a state that is absolutely unaccountable. And things happen when you let the government get that corrupt. Number to call 503-231-8187. Unauthorized demonstrations near the Spanish Parliament could see participants being fined €60,000 under a new citizen security bill being introduced by Spain's ruling rightist Popular Party. Local media reported under the legislation, which is likely soon to be approved in Parliament, social uproar leading to harassment or insults of officials is to be made a criminal offense. More on that, but I believe David has called in.
Oh, yeah. Hi. Howdy, Teresa.
Hi there.
Yeah, good, good. Hey, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. I was just reading an article yesterday about how, and I'm trying to think if it was the Nuclear Regulatory Commission or There was a U.S. agency. Oh, I know what it was. The Republicans are trying to put together legislation like right now during the holiday season when everybody gets kind of
slack. Oh, that's a favorite. Oh, yeah. Really interesting things come out on Fridays and holidays, but go ahead.
Right. Yeah. And in this case, they were trying to set it up so that if oil companies want to fast track their drilling permits. And so they want automatic grants of drilling permits if the U.S. government doesn't grant them within 60 days. Now, if you look at it, they would, if they shut down government, they put in a whole bunch of lousy permits, you know, obviously damaging ones, polluting ones, whatnot. And they put them in, in like 45 days before they shut down government. Then they shut down government for 2 weeks. They automatically get their permits.
Now, isn't that handy? You know, another thing that they're doing right now is they're at the secret Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations trying to get a law passed that says that fracking just simply cannot be opposed by citizens. Period.
Right. And,
anywhere.
And tied with the one I was just describing was that if a citizens group opposed these drilling permits, they would have to put up a $5,000 fee in order to oppose them.
Criminalizing dissent, you know, because you don't pay the fee, and then they say, well, you're a scofflaw, you don't pay the fee, and they escalate from there. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like taxation without representation. And
they almost fought in words.
Yeah. And then you were just talking about Alzheimer's disease with in conjunction with mad cow disease. I was just, I don't know if you're into herbs, but there's a kind of a famous old herb book that came out back in the 1930s, and it's still in paperback. It's called, Herbs. It's not Herbs and Things. I'll think of it in a second. But they talked about aluminum all the way back into the 1930s causing aluminum causing the equivalent of Alzheimer's.
Okay, and I'm glad that you brought that up because I think there's some truth in that, and also it's pretty complex. Like your body definitely needs aluminum to survive in micro amounts and in the right chelates. There are forms of aluminum that have been found in these prions, and the first I found it was, let's see, back in 1976 in an issue of, and I don't know why I was looking, but it always stuck in my mind, issue of the British equivalent of the American Medical, you'll think of it, the Lancet. It was in the Lancet.
Okay.
They were finding bits of aluminum in the prions in sheep scrapie. But the thing is, that ain't elemental aluminum, and it ain't aluminum sulfate. It's, you know, it is aluminum, and it does need to be available for those prions, but it by itself does not create them. I would say that if you're dunking a whole lot of aluminum, maybe you're enabling the formation of prions if they're already replicating. I mean, that's my best non-scientific guess. But I do want to caution. I mean, it's sort of like the vaccine thing. It's like, you know, there have been vaccines, especially when they get in a hurry and they don't have enough production facilities. The corporations that put out vaccines will put squalene and other adjuvants in it and make those vaccines dangerous. And they have historically used mercury, thimerosal, and vaccines. And so some vaccines sometimes are definitely dangerous. But vaccines by itself, I mean, that's a medical advance that should not be ignored. And you should certainly, you know, do the right thing by your kids and get them the vaccines if you know them to be, you know, the safe stuff.
Well, it was a purity. I come to think of it, I remember the name of the book. It's called Back to Eden. And an herb book. That,
yeah, I think I remember that.
Yeah, almost everybody's got it on their shelf somewhere because it's gone into millions of printings of it. And one last thing, that you were along those lines, medical care and pollution. I was just going to, you know, if you look at the welfare programs for the rich, basically they get the right to pollute us. Government is being abused because the government is giving the right to pollute the air.
Yeah, they're anti-Robin Hoods. They steal from the commons and give to themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And so they're not paying our medical bills. And so the high cost of medical care is obviously tied to the pollution that they've been dumping on us.
Hell yeah, asthma for a start, lung cancer. You know, it doesn't get said much, but when you want to talk about lung and breast cancer, well, what's that substance you're sitting on in your car? Would it be polyvinyl chloride? Hell yes.
Right.
And is it carcinogenic? Yeah, quote me on that.
Sit in a hot car and you get a nice taste of it.
So. Nice lungful of it, too.
Oh, one last thing. I heard the intro for your show, and they mentioned that you were going to talk about JFK, so I got...
No, that's Pear. Pear's coming up to talk about JFK.
Oh, is that at 9:30?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I had a friend, a JFK researcher, that may be on hold, ready to talk to you, but he had a whole bunch of radio shows down here in San Francisco on your sister station, KPU, and I've put them up on radioforall.net.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah, it's Paul Kangas, and I'll call him back and tell him to call at 9:30 instead of 9.
Okay, well, I'm going to go to another call, and I appreciate you calling in. That was an excellent call. And Naya is on the air.
Hey, Teresa. Hey. How do I get tested for mad cow disease if I want to be tested for it? I was a vegan and a vegetarian for about 30 years.
I'm not aware of any test. There are tests for cognitive ability. You know, like they say you spell world backwards.
Okay.
Try it. Dare you.
Oh, I can't spell anything backwards. I can say it backwards, but I can't spell it backwards. Thanks.
Yeah, sure. You're welcome. I guess that wasn't much of an answer. You can have cognitive tests for dementia. And I, you know, whenever this sort of thing comes up, when it's radiation or pollution or mad cow disease, I want to point out some things. Your body has tremendous regenerative capacity. Sometimes things overwhelm you. We're all mortal and we're all going to die. Thank God. Thank God we get a door out. Things get confusing and repetitive. But, and I'm not, that doesn't mean I'm feeling down. I'm just praising what's being. And, excuse me. But if you're on the upswing, if you can, if you want to do some preventive maintenance, well, let me say something about preventive maintenance. Let me say something about vitamin C first. If you start digging into vitamin C, first you'll find a lot of claims that it helps you out. And then you'll find a whole lot of claims that say that Linus Pauling screwed up in the last years of his life and his results haven't been replicated. Listen, I got something to say about that. I checked into that. No, his results were not replicated because his experiments were not replicated. Linus Pauling discovered that you could take more than 4.5 grams of levorotary L-ascorbic acid levorotary, that's important. Optically levorotary refers to how the molecule is assembled. And you would get health benefits. And 4.5 grams per day was the minimum. And it was levorotary. Now, people say they're going to, not people, corporations, basically corporations funding scientists who really want to get in and get with them. And man, there's a lot of those prostitutes out there. Sorry to put down prostitutes like that. People who call themselves scientists want to look good, want to get another, you know, they want that house in the suburb just as bad as you do. And they've run several so-called replications of Linus Pauling's research, and they have not used levorotary, and they have not exceeded 4.5 grams per day. Let me tell you, I can scarcely get levorotary. It's hard to find, and it's expensive. I get mixed. I take about 7 grams. I do most definitely get benefits from that. You have to work up to that. I'll give you the runs if you take that much. But that's something about mad cow disease you can do right now. How do I know that? Because that much vitamin C affects your body's capacity for regeneration on a broad spectrum. That's just one thing. Exercise, oh, hell yeah, exercise. That won't do it by itself. I remember somebody who exercised every day and her brain went completely rotten. Oh, in that saddening, horrifying way that it does. Anyway, so the number to call if you have comments. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland, and you could be listening on a radio. You could be listening on just a plain old radio manufactured in 1930 if you know how to replace the tubes. And I think it's cool to do that because you can't be spied on. Go yank the power on your Wi-Fi and listen on a radio. It's kind of fun to do. But Paul is calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Hi, Paul.
Good morning. That was very interesting. Are you also taking calls on the Kennedy assassination?
Well, it looks like I am now. But, you know, save some for the next show because Parafogring is going to do an examination of it. What you got to say about Kennedy?
I'd rather talk about vitamin C any day.
Okay, talk about vitamin C.
Okay. I'm from Eastern Oregon, Hermiston. That's where I graduated from high school.
All right.
And you probably know Pauling is from somewhere there. I forget what town in Oregon he was from. Dand or something like that. But I've been using... I met Pauling in an anti-war demonstration once.
Yeah.
And it was very impressive. And he had a bottle of vitamin C in his pocket. He pulled it out and put 2 grams right in front of me.
All right.
So ever since then, I've been carrying a bottle of vitamin C in my pocket and taking out 2 grams every time somebody around me coughed. And so... But I take 2 grams every hour.
Wow, all right.
I graduated from high school in 1960.
All right, so you're doing all right.
And I'm doing great. You know what the average life expectancy of an MD in the United States is?
I really don't know. I think you're going to tell me, though, right?
according to the CDC, it is 56.7 years.
No way. No way. Are you serious? Okay, I'm going to have to look that up. Everybody look that up. 56 years, that's amazing.
Yeah, CDC, look it up. They're doing a big study. They're trying to figure out why doctors are dying so young.
Well getting stressed out of their gourds has got to be a start.
They don't take vitamin C. They don't believe in it. They believe in their own propaganda.
When it comes to that propaganda, I'll say this to the doctors. Believe in science. Check the science. Really check it carefully. That's what science is about. The word scientia comes from the word to cut, to slice into little bitty pieces and see what's going on there. Science.
That's right. Useful. That's right. The slice. but to me, vitamin C is the key to good health. Now, I just came from the World Health, what's it called?
You know,
the
I'm almost out of time.
Of natural health meeting in San Diego.
San Diego. Okay, I'm going to leave it right there. Look up World Health San Diego. I'm sorry to cut you off. I know you're getting going there, but I've only got 2 minutes, and I got to say some stuff. One thing is to look up another thing. A town that exists in Spain. I have mentioned this before. You know what I'm going to say? It's Marina Leda. Now, a marina is where you float your boat in, right? A marina. And Leda is the character that, and this has nothing to do with the name of the town. This is just mnemonics. Leda is the woman that Zeus approached as a swan, and we won't say what he did with her. Marina Leda, Spain. Look it up. Life can be better when we cooperate in a transparent system. Anarchism can be very profitable, if I may be ironic. Profitable in the sense of a profit to everyone, personally. Now, there's an article by Sam Pizzigatti in Bill Moyer's Journal, and I want to credit Conch for this. Something astounding is happening in Switzerland. For the first time ever, voters in a modern developed nation are going to be voting on whether to create what amounts to a maximum wage. The vote will come this Sunday, November 24th, on a ballot initiative that bans any Swiss corporate executive compensation that runs over 12 times worker pay. In effect, under this 1-12 initiative for fair pay, no Swiss company will be able to pay its top executives more in a month than the company's lowest paid workers make in a year. A great idea? I think so. You've been listening to Press Watch. Now coming up is Per Fagering and more of KBOO Public Affairs, and you will want to stay tuned because this is your radio station.
Cascadia, half an hour of news in 15 minutes.
Weekdays at 10 a.m. on KBOO Portland.
Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. It's the end of the news as you know it.
On Thursday, November 21st, KBOO is proud to co-sponsor a discussion on racism and settler colonialism at home and abroad, a conversation toward building global solidarity. Student speakers will explore and counter the master narratives that deny our histories and our rights, from the European conquest of the Americas and the enslavement of Africans to the ongoing colonialism of Palestine. Settler colonialism has promoted racism and obstructed the self-determination of indigenous communities. The event will take place on Thursday, November 21st at 6:30 at the Native American Student and Community Center at Portland State University.
Well, good morning. This is Fight the Empire. I'm Per Fargrain. A few announcements. There'll be more on the Kennedy assassination this morning at 10:15. Law and Disorder features an interview with James Douglas, who is the author of JFK and the Unspeakable, Why He Died and Why It Matters. So hang around for that. And then tomorrow at 8, I will be back. I'll be hosting Friday Talk Radio. And we'll be talking about the assassination and the many theories about it and inviting your call. So instead of calling today, call, wait until tomorrow, and we'll have a nice conversation. And then tomorrow night at the First Unitarian Church at 12th, Southwest 12th and Main, there will be Project Unspeakable, a dramatic reading of the, I guess, of the book JFK and the Unspeakable. So all those things are coming up. And now we're going to get on to our guest, who is David Talbot. He is the author of a book, Brothers. And he's the founder of Salon.com, and he also wrote an interesting article for Salon about the JFK assassination, saying that the CIA and the New York Times are still lying to us. Well, David Talbot, welcome to KBOO.
Thank you, Per. Thank you for having me, and thank you to your station for commemorating this major event in American history.
Well, somebody's got to do it. You know, there's a lot of stuff about the assassination.